Hey guys, let's get back into the application section or question and answering session. Let's take this to a deeper level. I hope you would. We haven't done a real good job in some of these sessions of being people that ask questions. And sometimes that's an indication the speakers were bad, and sometimes that's an indication the listeners were bad. I'm hoping we can change that a little bit. And actually, I hope you got some stuff out of this that I hope I didn't do a bad job. I hope you heard the Lord speaking some instead of me. And so I hope you have questions. We would like this to be where we can dig a little bit deeper than you're able to do in just a few minutes that you have to speak, because I could speak for 5 hours on that topic. So you wouldn't want to listen that long. So what kind of questions would you have for me or Carol? Either one of us, we're willing to answer questions under my authority. What kind of questions do you have, please? Wow, we did a fabulous job, didn't we? Right there.
This question is for your wife. And I'm an intern at Central in the campus ministry. And I don't know if I should, like, when I first started out, I was trying to figure out, like, what exactly, like, because at the end of the day, I don't see myself being in Central till I die. You see what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. When I get out of Central, how will I be able to, will I always have to function, I guess, under someone, or can I go out on my own and try and develop something? You know, I haven't been able to answer that question yet.
Like, because, what are our options as women? Is that what you're asking?
Right, right. Like, okay. What are the... Because right now, I do some things with, mm-hmm. with the church at Central, but what if I'm in a community, which I probably will end up in a community, where there's not Central? How would I function?
Well, I don't know. But, I mean, one of the things that we hope for is to develop healthy female skills that are very attractable to ministries and to churches, okay? How fast that progress will be made, I have no idea. I don't know what, you know, God can open doors up fast, or he can teach us a few more wilderness days like we just talked about, okay? It's going to, the biggest impact will be how we approach it, our attitude. If we go at it large and in charge, I can tell you that we'll get slowed down by God, because that's not what he created us to do. And we are so susceptible to being impatient with what we say is the lack of male leadership. Right? I mean, you're hearing me. And our approach to that will drive it away if we do it poorly. And our approach to it can be the exact opposite. And I can attest to this even in my own marriage. We were just talking just a minute ago. Where did she go? Sometimes the most important thing you will do as a woman to encourage male leadership is to drop the towel, okay? It means you won't pick up the pieces that he or they aren't filling. And that is an intentional act. It is not to be irresponsible, and it is not to be passive-aggressive. But it is to say, I'm a woman who will submit to the leadership as it is, as it stands right now. Under all circumstances, I will submit, because that is what God has called me to do, okay? And then the next thing we will do is we will hit our knees and we will ask God's Spirit to change the man, not us. And that is the characteristic of a submissive heart. And I will promise you that you will see change in the men in your ministry, and you will see, you know, if it's a marriage that you're struggling with, or if it's just in, you know, in your occupation or your vocational ministry, let's say, that you will see change. It may not look exactly like you expect it to, but you will see change. And so this is a bigger piece of homework than let's get it done. If they won't do it, we'll just do it, okay? This is harder. What I just recommended to you is harder. But I can tell you that it is integral in the very thing that we're wanting. So as we do that, I think we can expect God to open doors for opportunity. I have so many things that I've done in my life that had no, this is this for this purpose. It had no identifying mark. It was just what I was supposed to be doing that day. And God turned it in later into something that became all of a sudden very, very important. If I had not spent the time learning how to do this, I would not be ready for this. If I had not spent the time with a certain person who was like the most annoying, irritating, time-consuming person ever, I would not have had the skills to be able to talk to this person. Am I hoarding the mic here?
No.
So
you were talking about me, though.
Yeah. No. No, I wasn't. I'll talk about him later. Don't be afraid of what you're having to do today, but do it. Show up. Be there. Be willing. This, again, is a submissive heart to God, and let God develop the picture for you, and it will. Something will develop if you are, ready for Him.
Well, part of some of that looks like, also to answer your question, I know you didn't ask me, but I'm going to answer it anyway, just kind of that way, a type personality. So what some of it's going to look like is you're going to be needing to make your decisions now. That when it comes time to make the decisions of where you're going to go from here, when it comes time to make life's decisions about all those kind of things, that you're not making those decisions yourself. You're leaving those open to God. You're saying, Father, I want you to guide me to where this and what, where this is and what this is and what it's going to look like. And that submissiveness is still there. You're not walking out from under anybody's authority. You're still under His authority. You never walk. We never see. That's the fallacy of this whole thing that we hear a lot of times, even in the women's movement, is we want to get out from under all this authority. None of us ever get to get out from under authority. We're all still under it, and there is no way. There is no way out from under authority. You're either going to be under the authority of the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, or you're going to be under the authority of Satan. You get that's the only choice you get is which one you're going to submit to. We think there's a third option that we get to go our way. If when we do that, that's Satan's way. We're choosing Satan. There is no three options. There's only two.
Len, can you tell the group a little bit of maybe what you've seen, like the ladies just do on campus or in the Marshall Center, or specific things of how they are so useful in the leadership meetings and stuff like that, too?
So one of the things I alluded to when we first turned it over to her was that my experience in campus ministry with ladies has been that if you would go to any of them and say, "What? Let's talk about the things you don't get to do in ministry. You know, we need to be doing more things. If you were to try to go have that conversation with most of the girls in our group that got it, and I do want to qualify that because some people don't get it, but the ones that do, if you were to go and talk to them about it, they would look at you with this quizzical look like, what are you talking about? I am way too busy doing ministry to be arguing with you about what I can't do. And that is the answer. I mean, that when I see our girls get turned loose on campus, it is a sight to behold. It is. I just stand back sometimes in awe at the things they do with other girls and the studies they set up and the loving actions they're taking and how they meet people that I can never eat. This creepy old white man can't walk up to a nice, cute little young girl and start talking to her. I'm going to get in trouble with the university. Okay, so I've been there, but. But the girls can. And in our ministry, which it's not mine anymore, I've left there, but I still feel that way. It's still my heart. They do. They get out there and they're involved in it. They're knowing, they're meeting people. It's intentional. When they make decisions what they're gonna do next with their education, they're not making decisions based upon what they want to do. I want to become this, I want to become that. That thinking doesn't enter their minds anymore. They're in prayer going, Father, what do you want? One of our girls got laid off on her job, not because she'd done a bad job, but because they laid everybody off in the entire business because they were turning it over to the university, and the university was going to take it over and rehire everybody. So everybody got laid off, and she was one of them. She didn't go, and poor me, and I can only look here in Tampa because this is where I'm from. She immediately said, Lord, I know there's Carrie Cox's ministry up in Springfield. There's There's Clint Hills over in Corpus. Lynn and Carol are moving to Tulsa. Well, yeah, not Springfield, sorry. St. Charles. And I get all of them confused. And she started thinking of all these locations where there were campus ministries. She said, I'm going to put applications in all those locations, including Tampa. And whichever door God opens, I'll step through. Because I want to go there and be a part of their ministry and be active just like I've been here in Tampa. And if it's in Tampa, I'll continue doing it here in Tampa. She's in Corpus now. The door opened in Corpus. She applied a lot of places, went through a lot of interviews. Corpus is the place that God ended up wanting her. See, you have to be intentional. And they are. They are that kind of intentional. Sorry, I'll dominate this whole thing if I'm not careful. Go ahead.
Well, and part of the beauty of her story was that she just went willing. And what turned out to be is that the timing was fortuitous. And Clint and his wife were having a baby at this, you know, this same junction. So she was able to go in, you know, able to be there, you know, not take over, but able to go in and help with organization, with experience. We're getting ready for a mission trip. She knew how to do it. I mean, God worked that out. She didn't plan that. God worked that out.
She was willing.
I'll just say one of my concerns as going through this process of going through being, you know, seeing potential that I didn't see yet, and going through the discipleship process and the training, was that I am not you. Praise God.
Amen.
And then I met Carrie, and I'm like, oh, great, another type A that I'm nothing like, you know, and how am I supposed to do this thing that you guys are doing and that many others are doing and not, and part of what helped was meeting other guys who were introverts and who were very different. But the main thing that helped is what you talked about, and that's what I've really tried to do with my guys and girls, and that was seeing you guys pray. You know, that was seeing the tears shed. That was seeing the heart, because that has nothing to do with personality, you know, and so that's what... if there's anything I've tried to take is to try to be real with the students and let them see the heart, because they can copy that no matter what they look like or who they are. But that an unrelated question was something that I'm trying to wrestle with right now. What, in your experience, what do you recommend for when you have a group of student leaders? Should it be for a certain amount of time, or should it just be in? I mean, it's going to be limited because it's college ministry and they're going to leave eventually. But how long do you keep them in that position before you either transition new ones in, or you can't grow to like 50, you know, 50 of your 60 are student leaders. So how do you manage that?
Well, if you're growing 50 of your 60 into student leaders, we've got a real problem, because you're making leaders people that are not, okay, not multiplying.
Right.
So there's a deeper problem going on than turning people into leaders. Oh, you're turning people into leaders that shouldn't be leaders to begin with. So to answer that question. So I'm trying to figure out how long?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever even considered that question. I never put a time frame on it. That's the Lord working. I always considered it's the Lord that was making these people leaders, not me. It wasn't because I was smart enough to say, oh, that person will make a good leader. I'm going to go talk to them about being a good leader. No, I just planted seeds, and all of a sudden it started flourishing. You know, I'll give you examples that you'll relate to. Kevin, who among us knew? You were there. You were in the ministry. Who among us knew that boy could sing? None of us. All of a sudden, Aurelio leaves, and we're all going, Lord, help, help, we need a song leader, help, help. And all of a sudden, somebody went, have you heard Kevin sing? Big Kevin? You mean Big Kevin? Yeah, have you heard him sing? Yeah. Okay, don't talk to me about Big Kevin. Most faithful guy in our ministry. Never met anybody more faithful in our ministry. There's not anything ever goes on that Kevin's not there. But wasn't spotting the potential. And that boy can sing. And now it helps him with song leading. He's leading songs at the church and leading all their ministry songs. And he's powerful and he's good. And he's getting better and better and better and better. Didn't see it. We're not doing this. God is. The minute you take it on yourself and say, I'm going to spot potential. The seed planting I'm doing, that's so intentional. I know what it's going to produce. Man, you're going to get slapped in the face, because it ain't going to produce squat and you're going to be in trouble. But when you're just planting them, saying, Lord, provide the increase. And you're watering them, Lord, provide the increase. All of a sudden, they sprout up over here and they become a campus minister, and you never thought they would. Never thought he would. But not only did he's a good campus minister too. And I knew he would be after he figured it out and pointed it out to me. Right here. Oh, sorry, there.
I think what you've just been saying is a bit like Samuel. when he was before David and his brothers. I think that's a classic example.
Classic example.
But anyway, that was what I was going to talk about.
That's all you get. No, go ahead.
I was thinking in terms of when you talk about planting. In Colombia, we've got several colleges. Okay. Sorry. In Colombia, we've got several colleges. And, you know, we've started at Columbia College, but we would like to expand to the other colleges. Do you think there are similarities with church planting to campus ministry planting, or are there differences from your advice? Yeah.
The answer is yes. There are similarities, and yes, there are differences.
Yeah.
I don't personally believe there's any one cookie cutter model.
Right.
And that's part of, and I wish I'd had time to even talk about that.
Right.
There's got to be a willingness on our part that says, I'm not going to make a mini me.
Mm-hmm.
He is not going to be me. He's still harping that, but it's because it's true. He doesn't recognize sometimes that I believe that 100% myself all along the way. I don't want a mini me. I don't like me. I used to be all honest about it. I was a kid that was abused, and I had a terrible attitude about myself for hundreds of years, thousands of years. Well, it seemed like that long. And I don't want to duplicate me. There is no cookie-cutter approach. That's why I was trying to say early in the model, God can do all things with every single one of them, and whether you think he'll make a good campus minister or not, God may have a whole different plan than you, and he may be the best campus minister ever walked this earth. Because
right.
He has the plan, not us. We just have to plant the seeds and water it and watch them grow and encourage them and spot his weakness and strengthen it. And
I think the other part to the question will be, okay, we've started this or taken on the torch for Columbia College. Do we move on and do other things, or do we leave somebody behind? You know, how do you, or is it just a case of just walking out in faith and see where God leads? Just if you've got any experience or any...
Again, I would answer yes to all those.
Right.
It's allowing God to do that. And when we turn it over in prayer to him and admit our weakness and say, Father, I don't know. Mm. I got all these campuses around me and I don't know how to do it.
Right.
Father, hit me with something that's obvious. Right. Next thing you know, a kid will walk in the door and says, man, I've been thinking about going over here and doing campus ministry at this university. Have y'all thought about going over there? And you're sitting there going, thank you. All I can say is thank you. I'm so amazed. And bang, there's another ministry. You didn't plan it. You didn't think it through. You didn't do any of the things I just said. God did it. And God loves to surprise us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Hello. All right. Anyway, you used Philippians 2:13 and
4:13.
Okay, use
both of
them. Use both of those.
Right.
And both of those is really hit me a lot because it says that God has a purpose. God will keep you strength. He will give you strength. And I say since I've been coming a Christian for the past 2 years. It's kind of hard. All my life, I grew up with, I was in special education for about all my life until I college. And with that, it's just God will give you strength and God will give you a purpose. And I just couldn't, and you guys used this Philippians 2:13 and 4:13. And I look at, I talked to Johnny the other day, and he was talking about listen to the word. Listen to the people here today, because they will give you strength and give you wisdom. And I listened to him and say, it was like, yeah, okay, whatever. My thing is, how can you be, I don't know. How can you work on such a dyslexic? How can you work on that? Like,
I think I know what you're asking. Your name's James, right?
Yeah.
Jimmy. Jimmy.
Jimmy. James. Okay. No matter.
Jimmy, hang on to this one. Grab a hold of this and put it right up here and don't ever let go of it. I exampled it, but now I want you to make it personal. Everybody in this room and everybody you know looks at you and they see this little corner. That's all we can see. But my God looks at you and these doubts that says this dyslexia, I think you said, this, whatever it is in anybody's life, these things that hold us back, that we are causing to hold us back, he looks at those and says, that's not an obstacle for me. I can do all things. He looks at a whole picture, a big picture. All of us that look at you, we see a little bitty sleeve, a little bitty spot on a sleeve. That's all we see. That's the best we can do. God sees all of it. He knows what the plans he has for you all the way down the road. What you've got to come to a belief is, you believe that. Because until you put into that brain that you believe what he says, and you either do or you don't, until that goes in, you can't change that evil one that's saying to you, because he said it to me for far too many years of my life, you're not worthy. You're not able. It's your fault. I have this weakness because of this. And it was always somebody else's fault. God looks at you and says, you're my son. And I can do anything. There's nothing you have in you that can stop God from doing what he wants to do through you. You understand that? You've got to learn to believe that. These scriptures are not just words. These are God's breath. This is God breathing on you, Jimmy, and saying, you can do all things through my son who gives you strength. You got to believe that. And I know your leaders. They believe it. They example it. They model it. And they look at you and believe you can do it too. You can't outdream God. Start dreaming. Turn it loose. Believe he can overcome dyslexia or anything else in your life. And he will. He already is. He already has. You just don't know it yet.
Or turn it into something. Turn it into some picture that you would have never imagined.
Turn it into the other million kids out there that have dyslexia that don't think they can do it either. Yeah. And you say, yeah, you can.
What if you were the person who gives them hope? That would make it worth it, wouldn't it?
Sometimes we got to be the ones that we look at ourselves and we're the low guy on the totem pole. And the truth is, we're always a low guy on the totem pole. But God looks at it and says, yeah, but I'm going to use you in a mighty way. God will say to you, I am with you, mighty warrior. And he sees you as a mighty warrior.
Already.
Is that it? It's four. We do need to wrap it up. I thank you. Thank you for listening to us. I'm humbled by your presence. Thank you.